For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Patrick Mahomes makes every conversation diluted because he's there. Because he's there for the Kansas City Chiefs and what he has the ability to do, not only in the regular season, but in the playoffs. And the reason why people are so sour, it was because the Kansas City Chiefs were not the team that we had grown accustomed to. It's because of the struggles that we saw them have as to why we went up on the Baltimore Ravens. Patrick Mahomes in this era is costing a lot of really good players opportunities to win Super Bowls who normally would in this era.
Marcus Spears, well, we feel that. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Football season 2 days away. The Chiefs will host the Ravens on Thursday night and start to defend their title yet again, something they are quite used to doing. They're going for three in a row. And the football season starts Thursday, games Friday, Bills and Cardinals on Sunday. Joining us on the Wester Hotline, Carrington Harrison, host of the Drive 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. We talk quite a bit as the Bills and Chiefs have been matched up quite a bit. And, you know, this time of year, the story is the same that it is quite a bit. Carrington, another title defense for the Chiefs. Thanks for taking some time this morning.
Yeah, of course, Jeremy. I'm happy to have you on the show. Jeremy, first off, I'm offended that you don't even think I have your number saved. When you asked me to come on, you were like, hey, this is Jeremy White. Jeremy, I've been on your show 15 times before I have your number saved.
You know, I never want to assume. Sometimes I'll get a text from some radio station, and there'll be the 15 texts. I never went to the trouble of actually saving the number, so I never want to assume. But
no, I completely understand. But no, you guys played that clip coming out of the open with Marcus Spears. I mean, we have that conversation in Kansas City. You know, sometimes I kind of get on our listeners because our listeners, they just don't like any other quarterback in the league. And it's like, you know, these other guys are really good. Like, you were just in the middle of something that is truly special. You know, during the Tom Brady era, other guys won championships. You know, Russell Wilson won one. Ben Roethlisberger won a couple. Eli Manning. You know, so far in the Patrick Mahomes era, no one else has a championship. Like, that's pretty rare, unique. Obviously, at some point, that's going to change. I don't think Mahomes ends his career with 11 Super Bowl rings. But, I mean, up to this point, I mean, Marcus Spears is 100% correct. I mean, the only person that has a ring since Mahomes started is Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford. Yeah. No one under 30 has won a championship outside of Patrick Mahomes.
And one thing I saw yesterday, Carrington, was someone suggesting that, you know, Mahomes, he's done it. Last year was the first time he did it with a great defense. And someone suggested, I think it was Scott Spratt, Daily Fantasy, said, one terrifying thought is, are the Chiefs about to actually enjoy a bunch of better years than they have? Which... It's tough to envision, you know, three out of four again or three in a row. But are the Chiefs, in your eyes, on their way to getting better than they were last year?
I think on paper they're better than they were last year. Now, we have some questions about the secondary with L'Jarius Sneed being traded to the Tennessee Titans. But this offense is going to be significantly better than last year. I don't know how the league let the Chiefs win the Super Bowl last season. The Chiefs were 17th in points scored. The Chiefs were 500 the final 2 months of the season. That was not a great Kansas City Chiefs team by any means. And then once they got to the postseason, something just changed with the Chiefs. I mean, you could argue if you change one or two plays in the Buffalo game, Buffalo wins. In the game against Baltimore, I mean, if Zay Flowers doesn't fumble the ball heading into the end zone, Kansas City maybe loses. Like, there were just a lot of circumstances that all perfectly aligned in the same four games to help Kansas City win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, that AFC Championship game is one that I often come back to. Carrington is like, that's the epitome of what they were. They were so good on defense and blown opportunities by the Ravens. Like, the Chiefs got through that game scoring 3 points on their final 9 drives. And it's the same opponent here, but I kind of have the same attitude of how did the Bills let them get away? How did Miami, how did Baltimore not catch them? Again, they scored a field goal in basically 3 quarters of play.
I actually think that Baltimore's probably the team that has the biggest, man, we should have won that game. The point that you alluded to of Kansas City's offense just was not good in the second half of the game. And if I'm Baltimore, I'm frustrated because I thought that they tried to out-Chiefs the Chiefs. I mean, they only had 8 rushes with their running backs. That's just not Baltimore football. You run the ball with Lamar. You run the ball with your running backs. You kind of try to control the line of scrimmage. That's just not how they played against Kansas City, which was very, very surprising. We've been having the conversation over the past, like, 10 days or so on who do we think is the biggest contender. A lot of Chiefs fans think that it's Houston, and I've kind of been making the point, well, you guys only think that because Kansas City hasn't beaten Houston in the playoff game. Like, you guys don't consider Buffalo to be a rival because you've always beat them in the postseason. I still think it's Cincinnati if I had to just pick anybody. I mentioned it earlier. I mean, the only 2 quarterbacks to beat Patrick Mahomes in the postseason are Tom Brady and Joe Burrow. So if Cincinnati's healthy, then I think I would side with them over everybody else. But, I mean, the top 4 or 5 teams in the AFC are as strong as they've been during the Mahomes era.
One parallel, Carrington, we can draw to the Bills is the Chiefs had their transition year, right, where they trade away Tyreek Hill. He goes to Miami. Expectations were probably for things to dip a bit, and, of course, they won the Super Bowl. So, like, we see them win a lot. Can you take us through what that might have been like? Because here in Buffalo, you know, Stephon Diggs gone, a new receiver core, turning things more over to Josh Allen, and with a little bit of a different mindset. The GM here has used the transition year, and I guess by looking at Kansas City, that doesn't always have to mean you're bad.
No, 100%. I mean, after they made the Tyreek Hill trade, I mean, I thought that that window was over and that they were going to have to just reset. So, I mean, I certainly know the feeling and the thought of a transition year. I mean, two major things are how the Chiefs won the Super Bowl that season. Their draft class was really, really good and fixed a lot of the holes that they had on their team, and they ran the ball very effectively. I mean, that was Isaiah Pacheco's rookie year. So you added a little bit of balance. You added a guy that, you know, gives you 1,100 yards from scrimmage. I mean, that's a big reason on how Kansas City won the Super Bowl last year was they ran the ball effectively, they played good defense, and they stopped turning the ball over. I mean, Kansas City had a minus 11 turnover differential last year. So one reason, to go back to the first question you guys asked me, is why are people so optimistic about the Chiefs? Where are they going to be better? Kansas City was 4-4 at home last year, and they had a minus 11 turnover differential. It's kind of hard to see both of those things happening again.
What is the, now that they're kind of maybe through the transition or hoping to be, even after winning, the biggest difference is Xavier Worthy? Like, how has he looked in camp? And does the expectation for him early in the season change at all with Marquise Brown's injury?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think the hope with Xavier Worthy is last year the Chiefs just didn't have that pop. They didn't have that sizzle in the pass game downfield. And I think the expectation, certainly when they get Hollywood Brown back, is you got a couple of speedsters on the outside that can take the top off the defense. And you've got Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce who can kind of eat over the middle of the field. They also got Samaje Perine from the Denver Broncos who recently got released. So I think they're going to use him in that Jerick McKinnon throw it to him out of the backfield role. So, I mean, there's a hope, at least in Kansas City, that the offense is going to – I don't think it's ever going to get back to what it was with Tyreek Hill, but just be far more explosive and dynamic. The Chiefs just had to – so many things had to go right offensively last year with the Chiefs because of their wide receivers, and it's hard to consistently put together 10 to 12 play drives. Something always goes wrong. Someone drops a ball, a penalty happens, mistakes happen over the course of the game. So I think people are expecting to kind of get some of that quick strike ability back. And Xavier Worthy certainly at the middle of that.
Yeah, with Worthy, of course, you know, some Bills fans are paying more attention to him than others because of the trade at the draft. I'm one that is going to be paying particular attention to that. Is he role player, straw that stirs the drink kind of guy because of what he can offer to this offense? What kind of expectations do the Chiefs have for his role in this offense?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think it's a role player. I mean, at this point, I mean, I would say, you know, he's behind Rashee Rice. He's behind Travis Kelce. He's probably going to have less yards than what you think Isaiah Pacheco is. So, I mean, he's in that fourth range, I would say, in terms of playmaker on this team. You know, historically, traditionally, Andy Reid doesn't really get big performances out of rookie wide receivers. Last year was a little bit different with Rashee Rice because they just didn't have really any other option at wide receiver. But it even took Rashee, it took him until probably week 9, week 10 to really kind of supplement himself as the number one receiver in the league. I certainly get why Bills fans are keeping an eye on it. I mean, I was surprised of all the teams, if I'm Buffalo, that I'm going to make the trade with. I'm not making the trade with Kansas City. I would never do anything if I'm Buffalo that makes Patrick Mahomes happy. That would just be a philosophy that we have as an organization. But I really like Keon Coleman. I mean, Keon Coleman was one of the players that we all knew the Chiefs needed to draft a wide receiver. He was one of the wide receivers that I wanted them to get. I actually rather have him than have Xavier Worthy, but I understand the kind of receiver that the Chiefs like. They like 5'10", super fast wide receivers, and that's just not what Keon Coleman is.
Carrington Harrison joining us on the Chiefs.
Are they going to be any different offensively this year other than the personnel in terms of running the ball? I know that started to go a little bit up with Pacheco at the end of last year, a little bit, but maybe that was just because of circumstance, because of what they were as an offense?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly was because of circumstance. I mean, last year they only had three offensive players that they trusted, Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco, and Rashee Rice. I mean, you've just now given them more weapons. Now, I know they're not going to have Hollywood Brown for early on in the season, but the addition of Xavier Worthy, when you get Hollywood Brown back, like, you don't give Patrick Mahomes all of those toys to then run the ball more. So I expect probably closer to the 2022 offense when they added Juju Smith-Schuster. I think they're probably going to be closer to that than what they were to last year's offense. Last year's offense was below average for most of the season. It was well chronicled, the drops that they had. I mean, think about their top three receivers heading into the season. I mean, MVS is no longer on the team. Kadarius Toney right now is not on the NFL roster. And Sky Moore, who was their second-round pick, he's probably the sixth wide receiver on their depth chart. So they have radically changed their wide receiver room in just one offseason.
Before we go, Carrington, very quickly, MVS, what to expect? Should he come up in big moments? Should people plan on having him let them down occasionally because he does drop the ball quite a bit? What's the review of MVS?
Jeremy, you know the review of MVS. You watched the same training camp clips or you went out there what I saw. Drops and disappointment. That's what I would expect from MVS. And also like a hint of like lack of accountability. That's the MVS special. Now, he might sometime in January, you know, you guys are going to have a playoff game against Miami or a playoff game against Cleveland. He might have four catches for 55 yards and come up big, but I am telling you right now, MVS is going to disappoint you. He is going to frustrate you. He is going to piss off Bills fans probably by Halloween.
All right. Carrington Harrison joining us on the Western Hotline. He's the host of The Drive on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. Carrington, thanks. We'll talk in November. Bills Chiefs this year is much later than it's been the last couple of years. So,
and it's here.
And it's here.
And
right?
It's here.
A November game here in the regular season. So I'm sure we'll talk then.
I just want to know how the Chiefs play the Bills and the Bengals every single year.
Yeah.
Like they tried to convince me that the schedule is random. It is not random.
Well, yeah, first place finishes, I guess. Although the Bengals this year, that lines up differently. Anyway, thanks, Carrington.
Thank you.
All right, Carrington Harrison. You know, on the Chiefs, so it's funny, like, how will they be different versus how the Bills will be different? I saw something from Warren Sharp. And we have talked about this a lot, and this actually lines up with the Bills' point, that big plays, explosive plays.
Yeah.
That's what the Chiefs are looking for. It's why they went out and drafted Worthy to kind of
sign Marquise Brown.
Yeah. Role players that can make something pop. And over the course of Mahomes' career, you know, the average depth of target came way down. They become a yak team. And the Bills are kind of on that track as well. But with Warren Sharp, this is something for me that it always sticks with me because, I mean, we spend our lives remembering 13 seconds. Like that game, right? Everyone wants to talk about the game every day, or they don't want to talk about it, but it's so fresh in your mind no matter what. And last year's playoff game here is remembered for the Diggs drop and Tyler Bass missing a kick.
Yep.
And
the Hamlin fake punt.
Hamlin fake punt and Trent Sherfield dropped the pass, I guess, as well. Like through that game, up until the Diggs pass was dropped, Okay, that's late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And if he catches that pass, that is an explosive play.
Yep.
But they had zero before that. They finished the game with zero.
Mm-hmm.
Zero explosive plays. And the reason I bring that up is because it is something they've said they want to get more of this year. McDermott talked about it the entire offseason, was talking about explosive plays this, explosive plays that. And the numbers on this, it's almost like everybody's too obsessed with turnovers and not obsessed enough with getting these big plays. Warren Sharp pointed out, a drive with an explosive play is 10 times more likely to produce a touchdown. 10 Yep. times more likely. One play of 15 yards or more, which is crazy. It's 10 times more likely to produce a field goal as well. Like if you, the idea that you go down the field, all the way down the field, dink, dunk, little tiny chunks,
mm-hmm.
You're going to get a holding penalty. You're going to get some problem along the way. Like it makes sense, right? If I were to tell you,
yeah.
you're not going to get a play of any more than 14 yards on this drive, you'd say like it's going to be a difficult drive to go down the field. And then yet the Bills did effectively do that against Kansas City. They went up and down the field on short plays and ultimately yep. fell short. And that's where their search for explosive plays brings them to this moment. Like, did they do enough to get it?
Well, because they in theory or on paper went a different route than the Chiefs did, looking for the same thing, right? Like the Chiefs said, let's go bring the two fastest guys we can get this offseason. And the Bills brought in Keon Coleman and brought in the guy the Chiefs didn't want anymore. And that's kind of it. And the exact quote that McDermott said on January 23rd was, you need to create explosive plays. That's a part of us moving forward when we look at our roster and player acquisition. And I don't know, like, is that what the Coleman pick is? Is that what MVS is? Is that, yeah. do they think that those are the acquisitions that satisfy what they want?
Yeah.
For explosive plays?
Yes. Otherwise, they wouldn't have picked him, right? Aren't they picking him for that reason? I mean, hey, let's look at Florida State. They could probably use their receivers back. the passing
oh, my gosh, yeah.
The passing game for Florida State's in rough shape.
Yeah. Just it's a tough bet for me. It's a tough bet. That guy, the 4-6-3 guy, is the one who's going to give you all the explosive plays.
Well, I mean, if it's
all right,
15 yards, 20 yards downfield. Yeah. We'll see.
But it's very different than what Kansas City did. Different body types, different player types, different philosophy.
He'll also.
It may be too simple to think of it this way, but I don't know. They're both chasing more explosive plays. Don't I want to bet on the team that just added the two super fast guys versus the team that didn't?
Wouldn't you want to bet on the Hall of Fame offensive coordinator?
Yes. Well, yeah.
Versus
yeah.
the guy that is still cutting his teeth in the league. Like,
yep.
We're still waiting to see Joe Brady's offense, which is why every like 3 days I say, hey, Joe Brady, just please be a witch. Just please. Be good at this. If he's good, they're going to be fine. If his design is good, they're going to be fine. And for Coleman versus Worthy, you got Carrington there saying he would have rather had Coleman.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't they have different roles? They each have roles right now. Wouldn't you be unshocked if Coleman had more catches, but Worthy had more yards? I mean, Worthy might be a specialist, a downfield guy that gets behind the defense occasionally. They probably run tunnel screens. It is one of the things about Coleman that we never got to see in the preseason. And we really didn't see mm-hmm. it at training camp either. He's good after the catch.
Camp, you really can't see that.
You can't see that at camp. Yeah. The kind of routes they had him running. And in the preseason, he caught two catches.
Where he's working back. So it's like,
there's nothing.
You're not going to create yak after that.
So if you're looking for any great unknown about Coleman that we're waiting to see and we did not see in the preseason, I mean, there's highlights. He jumps over defenders. He's a long striding, he does get to top speed. And that's something that once we see that unlocked, it's funny. Like, I feel like the way you talk about Coleman might be the way that a lot of people felt about Josh Allen, which is like, mm-hmm. okay, there's a lot of tools there, but I'm not sure he can do this. And then six games in, you're like, okay, the tools are enough. If the rest of it starts to fall into place, like Josh Allen's third career NFL appearance in Minnesota, you're like, okay, there's stuff here that we're going to work with. And with Coleman, you know, if week one they get him the ball in space and he trucks a guy and jumps over another one, what are you going to say? Like, okay, you got DK Metcalf out there.
Yep.
Or a big bully receiver that's going to be a pain.
Well, I kind of... He's DK Metcalf out there. He's, you know, he'll...
I mean, Metcalf yak. Of course, is crazy fast. Yeah, so that might not be the best comparison.
That is my big question with Coleman.
Does he have the speed?
I don't know right now, before week one coming on Sunday, I don't know if he's fast. I have no idea. Is he? Are we sure? Is he... I've got two things at the combine that I almost want to just... They cancel each other out. I've got these highlights at Florida State. I watch him, and he doesn't look that fast to me, but he doesn't also look that slow. Like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, the tools that he has. He can jump really high. He can catch the ball anywhere. He looks like he can make people miss. I have no idea if one of the tools he has is he's fast.
He's got to be because he returned punts. Isn't it illegal return punts?
Wes Welker returned punts. Is he fast?
I don't know, probably.
Micah Hyde returned punts. He's not, you know, he was athletic.
Right.
But again, I don't know. I have no idea if he's fast. Because if he's not, then we're going to go, well, 4.63. What are we expected him to be fast with the slowest 40 time in the whole combine? And on the other end, if he looks fast out there and he's running by people, it's going to be, see, gauntlet drill. Trust the gauntlet drill.
There's probably a conversation, not even just that, just does it matter? Will it ultimately matter if he's fast?
It's got to matter a little bit, doesn't it? If he's slow, that's going to be a problem.
Fastest ball carrier, by the way, DK Metcalf was a choice by me. He was the NFL's fastest ball carrier last year. Like, he's the fastest player in the league.
Metcalf was?
Metcalf.
Yeah.
He ran faster than Tyreek Hill.
He is lightning.
Alex in Rochester. Hey, Alex, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Back for another season. I was just saying, you know, on the screener coming in for the call, I'm in this weird mood. I'm, like, not as excited for whatever reason for this game. I'm going to the game on Sunday. I'm just not as pumped up for this season, and I don't know if it's because I had to witness, you know, the loss. Maybe I'm not over this Kansas City loss at home from last season still. I'm just looking for that one play or that one topic that gets me revved up. So I don't know what it. Maybe it's a big play from a new guy like Coleman, like you're talking about, or just something coming together. But I need some, I don't know, something to get me going for this week one game.
Thanks, Alex. If I could borrow some of what you said and maybe wrap it up, you are looking for things to believe in. Because a lot of the things that they have had that you used to believe in left. I mean,
all right,
listen, without even making the point about, Diggs and Hyde and Poyer, they're older and they're on the downside. Okay, that's fine. They could have retired. Never mind gone to different teams. They could have all retired.
Yep.
But the point is, those were players that you knew you could believe in, and they gave you something to buy into. This gets to the point that I think we were just kicking around with basically on Coleman, Joe, which is if he went off for 160 and two touchdowns against Miami.
Oh my goodness.
I feel like
we might be talking about the Super Bowl.
That's what I mean. It would change the conversation around the team.
Yes, it would.
We're very much in a spot, I think, going into the season where, listen, there's one guy to definitely believe in, quarterback. Who's in second place?
And you're shrugging your shoulders.
It's Taron Johnson and Deion Dawkins, and Milano's hurt. Who's the next offensive? Kincaid.
I'm at Kincaid, and that's... I feel pretty confident in that, but he hasn't done it.
No, and he's still a good young tight end. Elite. Yes. Well, this might be the year. A month into the season, the conversation could change. They're 3-1, and their offense has everything they want. Explosive plays and balance and all that.
Even more than that, a couple of guys that are popping. Right? It'll be based in the individual. Those are the right names to bring up. If they're 3-1 and Coleman's gone off in two of them and Kincaid has been solid as can be through all four, that might be enough. Right? That might be all it takes. Through the first four games, Coleman's got, you know, a 70-yard game, a 100-yard game, a 40-yard game. He's got two touchdowns, three touchdowns, and Kincaid is what we're hoping he is. That might be it.
I mean, I say
that's all it takes.
I say 4 weeks. Could be 1 week. He mosses a guy in the first quarter, and it's going to be
Alex is looking for something to get him pumped up about the season. What would it take? Would it only take, you know, 5 for 60 in a touchdown from Coleman on Sunday? Isn't Alex and a lot of Bills fans that might be looking for a reason to be pumped up? That's not a huge stat line. It's a nice one. You know, I'm throwing the touchdown in there. He's not going to get a touchdown every game. Hmm. But that's being a part of the offense. Is 60 yards, 70 yards, something like that.
What if he sets the NFL record for yards receiving in a game by a rookie? Do you know what that number is?
Yards receiving in a game by a rookie?
Yes. By the way,
didn't Puka Nacua do it last year?
No, he did not.
Okay. He set the total for the year.
Yes.
Okay. What is that number? I don't know that number. It's got to be in the hundreds.
Oh, it's in the hundreds.
Like, is it the record? 200?
The record belonged to a former Bill, Jerry Butler, for a while until it was broken in 2022.
2022, does Jamar Chase have it?
Jamar Chase went for 266 yards in a game as a rookie.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I would take that in the first month for Keon Coleman.
803-0550. Bill, hang with us. Good to hear your call. Right on the other side, and another number for you on some receiving stats that are interesting for our stat of the day. Yeah, what would it take to build up a little bit of buy-in if you are like-minded like Alex, feeling like, I mean, I'm ready to go, but I'm just kind of looking for something to buy into right about now. It has been the longest offseason ever. That's another part of it. I feel like something about it has been so long. Like, let's get back to these games. Jeremy and Joe, football season's upon us here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On WGR.
To be honest, no, I haven't. A lot of my friends, I've seen it happen. I've seen people like jump off buses and the tables. And, like I said, when it starts snowing out, that's when the tailgate starts getting crazy. But yeah, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff happen at Bill's tailgates. That specific day, I can't tell you specifically what happened. It's just kind of all jumbled now from all the games I've been to.
Bill's linebacker, Joe Andreessen. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Tuesday. It's beautiful out there. It's a fall day. It's another beautiful fall day. It's going to be warm today, tomorrow.
Finish that pumpkin spice latte over there?
I did finish it, yeah. What else?
What's next? Cider donuts.
Cider and donuts.
Might be on the way.
Oh, man. Stew season? Chili season?
That's not a stew guy.
Soup season?
I'll go for chili, chili in. Stew, eh.
If you're not a stew overrated guy, that's because no one's ever made you a good stew.
That's possible, I guess. It's also possible I just don't like it.
What's not to like about stew?
It's just, you know.
Get a nice piece of big bread to soak up the stew.
Doesn't have to be heavy.
So heavy. Usually you have your meat and potatoes, right?
Yeah, in there? And some veggies and... Nah. And stew juice.
Not a lot of flair going on in the stew. That's why I'll go chili. Chili over stew.
I'm leaning back into you've never been made a good stew.
I did have one. I had a good stew in Ireland. Nice Guinness stew.
And?
It was good.
So now you like that stew?
That one was good.
Okay, so far, we're one for one on liking good stews.
I'm sure someone else has made me a stew that I liked before. Just in general, I hear the word, oh, we're having stew for dinner. All right.
You just had bland stew all your life.
That's right. I think that's what we're landing on. Stew season.
You can't have a boring... Can you have a boring chili? You can have a boring stew. Can you have a boring chili?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely?
Yes, there are sins of chili. Too much cumin. That's a sin of chili.
That's it?
Yeah, that's one of them. Yeah, okay. You can have bad chilies. Joe, you're talking to a former family chili cook-off champion over here.
Yeah.
You knew that about me.
The expert.
Diana Rossini reports 11-time Pro Bowl selection, 3-time first-team All-Pro, Trent Williams agrees to a contract extension with the Niners, per his sources. His holdout is over. Can I add one piece to the preseason pledge?
Go ahead.
Don't believe any nonsense about contracts. Can we do that next?
Yeah.
Why does anybody believe any of this? Well, I'm not sure they're going to pay Brandon Ayuk what they do. Oh, Russell Wilson's going to play baseball. It's all junk. Trent Williams. Well, the Niners really, I mean, if they're not going to have Trent Williams or Ayuk this year, are they going to miss games? Nope.
This is actually multi-layered in the preseason pledge because these guys skipped the preseason and all of training camp. And are they going to play week one? It would just be completely fine.
Yeah, probably.
Trent Williams showed up today. He's going to be fine.
I was going through all of my tweets to find a poll that we posted during training camp. And you know what I found a lot of in my tweets? All of how the Steelers were about to land Ayuk. Oh, yeah. And then it didn't happen. Jamar Chase, he might be the one.
I was going to say, one of every 10, you actually get the guy that actually follows
maybe
through,
one,
right?
Maybe one out of every 20.
Well, do we think he's going to follow through?
He's in the toughest spot. The Bengals.
He's got 2 years left.
Right. Well, that's not unusual. Receivers get paid after 3 years.
Right, but they usually don't hold out. They get paid after three. They don't usually hold out after three, right?
Jefferson was going to. Remember that? Oh, would they trade him? Are they going to trade Jefferson?
He was in New York, and everyone was like, the Jets whispers.
Sure didn't trade him.
With Jefferson. I just need, once in a while, I need one of these guys to actually either hold out into the year or force a trade to make me believe that it's actually possible. Because it is definitely, it's probably 90% of the time these situations end in, oh yeah, the team just ends up paying them. The Bengals are also different, right? The Bengals are different because they do things in a very old school, and you could even say cheap way.
Very, very much so. It's not just that the Bengals are different. The Bengals are in a unique spot because of T. Higgins, who is also unhappy. But which would you rather be? Unhappy, making $21 million this year, which is what T. Higgins is doing,
yep,
and then he's a free agent, or be Jamar Chase, who is, his base salary this year is $1 million.
Ugh,
his total cash is about $9 million because of a signing. No, I'm sorry, this is a signing bonus. He had a roster
so
bonus.
Already had that.
Yeah, roster bonus and a salary. So he basically makes about $5 million this year. Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
And Higgins makes 20?
I think the number is 20.
It's 21.
By the way, Schefter points out it's not just Chase. Hassan Reddick is also still holding out.
That's right.
The Jets.
That's been ugly from the start.
Yep.
Bill in Buffalo is next up as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Hello, Bill.
Jeremy, Joe, I hope that this slightly unseasonably morning finds you both well.
Very well.
I'm a little bewildered. Maybe it's because of my age, of how many people talked about, and you guys talked about it a little bit too, like the receiving core of the Bills. You know, maybe it's because people have become stat mongers so much. Like, oh, you got to have a number one. Kansas City hasn't had a number one wide receiver, true number one wide receiver. Now, Joe is stating, you know, like, can Coleman, could, but will he? By saying, you know, he has the ability to catch the ball, he's intelligent, his work ethic is probably in the top tier of any player in the NFL for how seriously he focuses on his workouts and things of that nature. Do you guys remember what Keon Coleman ran in the combine?
It was the 40 time?
Yeah,
you mean?
It was a 4.6.
It was in the 4.6s. Yeah.
But he ran the best gauntlet drill.
Yep.
Jerry Rice ran a 4.6. Arguably, probably one of the best wide receivers to ever touch a football, ever to play the game, and they're very similar, are they not?
I don't know how similar they are.
I don't know. We just become very superficial about picking up titled players. Jerry Rice, Jamar Chase, all these players, even Randy Moss. They came at the end of NFL at the time being nobody. They were nobody until they performed in the NFL. So why is there so much controversy? Like, I don't understand how Curtis Samuel is not livid with people going, that guy's a great receiver. And not good. I would say great because, like you guys stated, he's played very well with quarterbacks that aren't a superstar. So his quickness, you know, in the secondary, you know, shallow into the secondary, his ability to separate, you know, his ability to extend plays after the catch. What is it that people don't see? Like,
Bill, let me ask you this. Again, like, I don't think that Curtis Samuel's bad. If you're asking what is it that people don't see, he was an unrestricted free agent in the NFL, and at the hottest position, he got paid $8 million. So what you're seeing is that 32 GMs didn't quite see it as him being great. He looks like a nice role player receiver. He might get a big part of this offense because he paired with Joe Brady, who he's worked with before. But, I mean, it's not like, you know, if you're a receiver that signs a deal for $8 million a year, that means that, I don't know, you've been slotted in by the league thinking you can play. He's not getting like a Mac Hollins deal or an MVS deal, which are even lower, but he's getting a deal that is paying him what the league thinks he's worth. And he might outperform that. Plenty of guys do.
I'm not really referring to how much they make.
But that does matter. Like the point about Keon Coleman, you know, if you're saying you're suggesting that all the Bills receivers, no one should doubt them. And for Coleman, what was he, the seventh receiver taken?
He was the seventh, and even the Bills.
Without even disputing about whether or not he's good, I'm just trying to use how you're using the capital spend. Like, is every receiver before him also good? They can't all be good. Not every receiver. Go ahead.
I agree with you. They cannot all be good. Can you two guys tell me, in your opinion, who was the best quarterback taken number one overall that you can recollect?
The best taken number one?
Like Peyton Manning? I mean,
Stafford?
After the fact or in the moment? I mean, Andrew Luck?
Peyton Manning. Who was taken number two? Crying Ryan Leaf.
That's
and
right.
He was terrible. So
right.
I understand what you're saying, but just because, you know, people have controversy and say it doesn't necessarily make it so, because it's within the heart of the player.
Well, it's also, and this is where I got to on Coleman, I wonder if he's missing tools that will stop him from being a great NFL receiver.
And there are lots of stops on the way to great NFL receiver that are still super good and useful.
Like, you can do it without speed, as you kind of pointed out. Like, it's Larry Fitzgerald is another example. He ran in the 4.6s, and he was a Hall of Fame, one of the best of all time. But, man, you got to be great at a lot of stuff. You got to be great at route running. You got to be great at separating. You got to be great at catching the football. And Coleman is, I think, great at some of those things, but you got to put it all together. You can't just assume, this guy was slow and he made it work, so that means everyone else can.
I mean, some guys, I won't necessarily agree with everything that you say there, Joe, because some guys are great at everything, and some guys are just great at, like, two things, and they only need to be great at two things. You know, if you, like, I don't know.
What are Coleman's two things?
His hands are elite.
Yep.
His vertical ability looks to be elite. Over the middle of the field, like he's going to be a yards after catch guy. That looks pretty good. You know, the rest of it is a wait and see. And I guess, Bill, like, that's a big point of this conversation is we're waiting to see on a lot of what the Bills have at receiver. Shakir. Like, Shakir looks really good. Really good yards after catch. Really good over the middle of the field. One thing, and I'll let you go one more time, Bill, before we hang up. One thing the Bills do not have a lot of is, at least not yet, guys that win on the outside. And that's something we're going to have to see Curtis Samuel do for them. We're going to have to see Keon Coleman do that for them, because Stephon Diggs was a guy, you can say all you want about number one receivers. Diggs and Davis were guys that played on the outside an awful lot and were able to win on the outside to varying degrees. And right now the Bills are kind of in a boat where winning on the outside at receiver is very much a question for them.
That's very understandable. In your opinion, is that a tangible or an intangible?
Oh, it's tangible.
Because there are things.
That's definitely tangible.
That bodes to, I mean, you know, not pessimistic, being that he could get better at those things.
Of course, yes,
and
he
has the work ethic and the seriousness that someone like Chase Claypool, who also had the chance. You know, like went back when he played, and a lot of people said that he just didn't take the game serious enough, which I don't understand how anybody in that position. That's like someone giving you the winning lottery numbers and you going, nah, nothing.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for the phone call. I don't really know anything about Keon Coleman's work ethic, and I think it's to be determined. I mean, chances are if the Bills take a player. They're going to value that quite a bit. But again, yep. a lot of teams would say they value that, and then something happens. You get it wrong. So I don't know. Yeah, but winning on the outside, I would say, is a tangible thing the Bills have been, well, outside of Diggs, lacking. And they probably could have used another one on the outside over the years. This offense, though, might be different. Might not ask as much the same as it has in years past. Thanks for the phone call. Happy to have that conversation. And, yeah, I mean, I guess this time of year it's tough. Like, I don't think pessimism is what I want to sound like. I sound uncertain. Mm-hmm. I'm very uncertain about a number of things, whereas the last, you know, 3-4 years when you're walking in and Stephon Diggs is your number one, I am certain he's good. There's just not to be disputed until after he's traded, and then people pretend he wasn't. But whatever, like we had things we were certain about, and right now there's a lot of uncertainty regarding the Bills. And I like the word itself doesn't mean bad; just means we don't really know. That's why I'm eager to get the season here. 803-0550. Thanks again though for the phone call. Good stuff. When we return at 9, Andy Major, we're going to start chatting about your plans to get to the game, parking, all this. The Bills have a new parking structure as well. You have to buy a season parking pass. So some things to get to with Bills Vice President Andy Major, Vice President of Operations and Guest Experience. So that's coming up top of the hour. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. All right, one more follow-up to our last segment, last caller about and just uncertainty. Here's another way I might illustrate my uncertainty about the Bills. Again, not pessimism, just I don't know. Joe, it used to be if your fantasy players were playing the Bills, you gave thought to not playing them.
Yep.
Is that still true? I have some Kyler Murray. I have some Marvin Harrison Jr. I have some Trey McBride. Should I be afraid of the Bills in a game like this? Quarterbacks, you know, guys don't go off against the Bills. It's a new version of the Bills. It's week one. Little bit of changeover, safety, but just to me, it's a little different than years past. By like week three, it might be locked right in where it has been. I kind of expect that because McDermott generally coaches some pretty good defense. But to start the season, you know, would you have Kyler?
I wouldn't bench him.
Would Kyler Murray be a start or a sit?
Start. I wouldn't take him out. He's like a borderline starter usually. I would leave him in, at least for week one.
He's Matthew Berry of the Fantasy Life's ride or die this year.
Kyler?
Uh-huh. Not just a borderline starter, I mean, but you got to start that guy this year.
I love him. Their defense is really bad, and he's got weapons.
Yeah.
So that could mean shootouts galore.
It's day one of staring at all my fantasy rosters. That's not even day one. It's like day 20.
Yep.
Whatever. But I got two new teams. I'm just staring at the rosters. Two new guillotine leagues. Andy Major joins us when we get back as we prep for Sunday's opener. We'll get you the weather report on it. We'll get you the traffic ideas, the construction updates, everything you need to know about getting into the game, what might be different this year as you prepare for Sunday, 1 o'clock against Arizona. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.